This is the final week of January. Who can believe that, right? Like, you're just like, who's this going? Where the heck's it going, right? I literally had a school contact me this week saying, we want to book in a date, because I would do this on the side, work in schools. I said, all right, when's it for? They're like, May 2023. I was like, hold up. Like, I'm just still trying to figure out 2022. And it's been the weirdest kind of month, because it's going to be very slow, because everyone's been in isolation, right? Everyone's just had their little, who's had the spicy flu? The crusty cough? You know, everyone's been through it. I mean, we've all been through it. We've all had a couple of days or weeks where we've sat at home going, oh my gosh, when's it over? And it's great to see you all recovered. That's great. But, you know, this new year has been a funny one. And I know that when you enter into a new year, a lot of us have New Year's resolutions. Did anyone have a resolution this year? None. Oh, a couple of you. Mr. Gibbon, what's your New Year's resolution? Wait. You're like, you just tapped your tummy like this. And is it to get rid of it or to grow who you are? Because, yeah. I just want to be bigger and better, you know, in 2022. I often have that New Year's resolution. I started on the treadmill for a couple of weeks, got the spicy flu and haven't been back, right? So, but, you know, that's okay. We'll get back on that bandwagon. I mean, 365 days of opportunity, 30 of them are already gone, all right? So, you know, it's ticking, all right? So if you've got a New Year's resolution, maybe get onto that. But I do love new things. I love getting new things. I love, you know, doing new things. Who likes doing new things? Okay, all right. So I've got a challenge for you, okay? Who likes just doing the same thing over and over again? You're all putting, you didn't put up your hand, but you all sit in the same seat every week, okay? So my challenge for you to do something new, and if you want to do it right now, you want to go, I'm going to mess with my own head, feel free to move to another part of the church. Any seats you want to try out? Nothing? Bill? No? Okay, right. Bella, you don't want to move? You did. You've changed. Two seats. The revolutionary change of our youth director's two-seat change. And anyway, so the new things. I mean, we do stick to what we know, don't we? And we say we like new things, but then when it comes down to it, if it gets a bit discomfort, there's not much comfort to that. You're like, no, I'll just stay with the old thing, right? And going into a new year, I want to challenge us on some things, because over the last few weeks, we've talked about the foundation of 2022 and how you can actually grow in your spiritual faith. How you can actually get closer to God. And at the end of this year, you won't be the same as you were at the end of last year. You will have actually grown. And we've talked about it right from the beginning. We talked about reading the Bible, opening the Word of God this year, making sure you prioritize that. And it's great to hear stories of people that are actually reading their Bible for the very first time and going, you know what? I'm actually reading the Bible. The other things we've talked about in the last few weeks is prayer. Actually saying a prayer to God. Maybe you're not a big prayer. Maybe you find it weird. But for the first time, you've actually just had a conversation with God. Maybe it's in your car or at home. Maybe it's in a life group environment where you had the guts to go, you know what, I'm going to pray out loud for the very first time. That is a growth moment. That's something new. We talked about fasting. I've loved hearing about the week of fasting, especially from the kids' ministry. Did anyone have a child who fasted? Like, yeah, a lot of you, right? So they taught fasting in kids' church. And I've got to tell this story because I felt guilty as a pastor, but at the same time, I had a good laugh. All right. Apparently one of the kids, like, they had these two cups and they said, you know, you take out of one cup, as in you give up one cup and it fills up your spiritual cup. And the kids guys actually had little things that they could take out of the cup. And one of the kids pulled out TV, give up TV. And apparently they just burst into tears. Like, I can't do it. Right. And I'm just like, that's great. We've got kids crying. They've got to give up these things. And, you know, learning these great life spiritual lessons. But I've heard of kids that literally gave up lollies, denied themselves of lollies and tea. And I'm like, man, you're doing better than the rest of us, right? This is great. So, you know, we're learning about growing in our spiritual walk this year and how to do that well. And even with Anointing Sunday, the challenge was to pray to God through that week of fasting. God, what is it you have for me? Give me a word for my year, something that can set me for the year. And as I've been praying ever since the start of this year, and as we've entered into a very bizarre start to the year, I've just been asking myself, God, what is it you want from me? What is the word? And there's just been these two words. And it's actually going to be the core of this series we're entering into, because Holy Spirit has just constantly just been stirring me as, follow me. That's all I want. Just follow me. Such a simple statement, isn't it? But this year in 2022, would you just follow me? Jesus, follow me. And today I want to talk about this because if you are new to church, maybe you've walked in, you've gone, what's church all about? Maybe you've got a Christian friend. And you're like, there's something about your life, I want to see what that's all about. What's a Christian? Well, Christian literally just means follower of Christ. A follower of Jesus' teaching, a follower of who he was and what he was all about. And today I want to talk about this following. Actually leaving your past behind and choosing to follow Jesus. And I know that sometimes doing that, that's a very new thing. And it means letting go of something from the past. Actually letting go of something so you can actually step into what God has for you. And who likes culling things?
Yes.
Wow, Anastasia. Wait, I know your family had the spicy flu. In that time, did you throw out a lot of stuff? Yes. Not any of your kids, though. The kids are still there. Smuggle your kids out? What? Oh, and the junk, right? We're talking about different things, clearly. So you got rid of a bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of junk gone. Bella's just like, they didn't throw out their kids, if you're wondering. Okay, so that's fine. But like, yeah, it's great to get rid of stuff, right? It's just great to clear out and leave stuff behind and step into something new. And, you know, I know that a lot of us want that for our life. And especially when we go into a new year as a pastor, even over the last few years, I've received this passage of scripture because it is a great encouragement, this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And it's about God doing new things. About God doing new things. It's in Isaiah 43. It says, "This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like the wick." This is when they escaped Egypt. So it's talking about when God actually helped Israel out of Egypt. And so then it says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me and the jackals and the owls because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself that they may proclaim my praise." It's a really great scripture, isn't it? There's a new thing. But I want to point something out in this passage about getting the new thing. About actually stepping into something new, about 2022, moving forward and actually stepping into what God might have for you for this year. In this passage, it says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." Put it up on the screen there. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Who's guilty of that? Man, if I step into this new year and I think about last year or the year before, it's very easy to get distracted by what was instead of what God wants to do. Very easy to turn around and go, "Oh, I miss the good old days," right? Seen a whole bunch of memes about, remember back in 2019, right? And looking at, I just want to go back to where we were 2 years ago. Can I tell you, I don't want to go back. I want the new thing that God has for me. God doesn't sit in the past and go, "Oh my gosh, I've got to wait for this pandemic to land before I do anything." He's already got a new thing on the horizon. He's already doing new things and you can step into that. He says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Notice how the writer's like, "Don't you see it? Do you not perceive it?" And the reason the writer is almost claiming this and calling it out, he's like, where is your gaze? What are you focusing on right now? Because if you're looking backwards, you're not seeing or perceiving what I want to do. And my challenge to us all today as we start to look into following Jesus in 2022, the great question is, what are you going to leave behind and not dwell on to allow God to bring something new in your life? Something that's going to bring life like you've never had before. You know, the heart of God is to bring about a new thing in our life. But he pleads with us, do not dwell on the past. Focus on me. Follow him in 2022. I want to talk about and show you just the call on the early disciples, the first followers of Jesus, and how they actually had to leave the past to step into the new and what God had for them. Really fascinating story of these young men that get called out by Jesus. So I'm going to open up in Matthew 4:18. And it says this, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. Don't you just find that very confusing? Simon, who is called Peter, we'll just call him Peter. Like, why are we here? And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Such a bizarre moment, right? These fishermen just out there, and he says, I'm going to make you fishers of men. If someone said that to you, I'm going to make you a fisher of men, what are you picturing? My brain's like, what, am I just throwing rod, like, lines out in people's faces? Like what's going on here? They don't know what Jesus is on about, but there's something about this moment, this rabbi who's walking on the Sea of, like, beside the Sea of Galilee, and he captures their attention in this moment. And it says instantly they left everything. They didn't look back. Who knows? The nets might have still had fish in them. They may be wet and entangled, and there might have been this space where they needed to get stuff done before they could leave. But it doesn't say they got everything done, then they followed Jesus. They just followed Jesus. They left everything in that moment. And it goes on to say this. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. The first four disciples just drop everything and follow this rabbi, this teacher. It's such an interesting thing because I think about the first two and that's fine, but I think about Simon and Andrew. James and John, and I find it really fascinating. They're with their dad, Zebedee. They're doing the family business. They're doing fishing. They've been out fishing now. Dad's showing them how to fix the nets. They've got the fish. They're building the business. This is their inheritance, by the way. This is their future. Dad's probably proud of his sons, thinking one day I'm going to pass this on to my boys. And a rabbi walks by and says, hey, boys, come and follow me. And they go, see you, Dad. We're out. They leave everything behind to follow Jesus. I often think about Zebedee. I wonder what his emotion was in that moment. Was he angry? Boys, get back here. Sorry, Dad, peace. Or was it a moment where Zebedee's like, there's something on that rabbi. I think this is a good choice. We don't know. But we do know that two sons left their dad and their full livelihood and their future and their inheritance to follow Jesus. You know, we see this time and time again as Jesus starts calling his disciples. He calls them away from what they're doing. In Matthew 9:9, the story of the tax collector, Matthew is doing his job. And being a tax collector means you're hated by the Jews. You're kind of a bit of scum for the Romans, but you're working for the Romans to get rich off of the taxes of the Jewish people. And so Matthew has made his bed and he's lying in it and he's decided, I don't care about people, I care about wealth. And this is his life that he's doing and everything's fine. He's probably very wealthy at the time. And it says in Matthew 9:9, it says, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. There's something about this Jesus. All the wealth in the world was Matthew's. But in a moment, a simple word from this rabbi, and he went, it's not worth it. Okay, I'll follow you. What an amazing thing. He would have never been as rich after that day. In fact, he would have never had the wealth, the notoriety. Even amongst the other disciples, he would have probably been treated pretty badly to begin with because of what his past was. They're probably like, why is he part of us? And as I said, over the last month, I've been praying, God, what is it for Elevation Church? What is it for me? What is the word? What is it? And I just keep feeling the Holy Spirit just quietly, softly, urgently stirring my heart, saying, as, follow me. Are you prepared to leave some stuff behind to follow me? What are you prepared to let go of in 2022 to follow Jesus? Question is, are you ready for God to do something new in your life in 2022? And if you are, what is God calling you out from so you can go into the new? What are you going to leave behind for Jesus to show up in your life like never before? You know, it's so interesting that last week we talked about the anointing, which is the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and the very first anointing of Saul. And Saul received the anointing, became king, and then in a short period of time, he got more caught up in what people thought of him than what God had asked of him. And in a moment of disobedience, he decided, I'm no longer going to follow God, I'm going to follow people and their opinions, and he loses his anointing. You know that moment we talked about where Samuel goes, Saul, why were you disobedient? God called you to do something, you've completely been disobedient. And Saul's response is simple. If you can listen to the podcast from last week, he goes, I've sinned, I cared more about what people thought than being obedient to God. And he loses it because of his disobedience. He misses it. There's something about being obedient to the call of God. When you say yes to following Jesus, it comes at a cost. You know, even at the end of the Gospels, it's really fascinating. I didn't share this in the 8, but I've always found this really fascinating story. It's the final moment before Jesus actually leaves earth. And he calls out all these disciples, there's all this crowd, and he says that Jesus says, go, and he sets this, you know, go into all the world and follow me. And it simply says, there's a line, and I want you to go read it this week. Go and find it in the Gospels. Come back and report, I found it. And literally it says, and some people chose not to follow. Can you imagine that? And some chose not to follow. They've seen all the miracles. They've seen everything that Jesus has done. They've actually experienced the resurrected Christ. And some chose not to follow. Why? Because it comes at a cost. It comes at a cost, and they knew it. In fact, there's a story about a rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. He wants to be one of the followers. He sees the disciples, the followers, and he wants to be part of that. He says, Jesus, what must I do to, you know, kind of receive this eternal blessing? How do I get everything that you're offering? And Jesus says, well, what are you doing? He goes, I'm following all the commands, Jesus. He's pretty pompous and self-righteous. He's a good Jewish man. And Jesus says, well, what are you following? What commands are you following? And Jesus actually says this in Matthew 19, 18. He says, so Jesus replied, you're following this one? You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. So he goes through the Ten Commandments. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your mother and father. And he goes on and on. And then this rich young ruler goes, all of these I've kept. What do I still lack? Because he's like, I'm pretty good. Jesus answers, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, who then can be saved? You know why they asked this question? Because they were probably looking at it going, I'm stuffed. Who reads that and goes, I couldn't do that. Come on. Like, you're like, I got a mortgage, I got things to do, I got things to pay, like all my wealth, like, and give it to the poor, and that's how I'm, and this is what happens to the disciples, because they're also human, and they're seeing this, but Jesus is actually trying to make a point with this rich young ruler that was full of pride. He didn't realize that there would be a cost, and he was trying to point out the cost to this rich ruler. He was saying, I know where your heart lies in your finance, and I'm going to ask you, would you give it up for me, because it's going to cost you something. Jesus looks at them when they said, well, how the heck can we, you know, get this, Jesus? It says in verse 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Peter answered him, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? Can you imagine this? For 3 years, these guys left fishing, left mum and dad. Who knows what sort of impact that had on the family? Who knows of the stuff that they had to let go of over 3 years to follow Jesus. And now, close to three years in, just before the crucifixion, they're saying to Jesus, Peter says this, he's like, we've left everything to follow you. And ultimately he's saying, what's the benefit for us, Jesus? Is there going to be some reward for everything we've given up? And Jesus said to the disciples, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a pretty good deal. Can you imagine? They're like, okay, so it's going to be good, right? But then he actually goes further for you and I. He gives us the truth of following him and the great reward that comes with it. He says this, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields, fields represents all wealth or things they've given up, notoriety, they've given up their heart's desire, which they know is wrong, the things that they know will destroy them, they've let go of it. It says, for those who give that up, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. There's great reward for following Jesus. And he says, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. You know, what an amazing promise that Jesus gives to us when we follow him. Right now, you may not be feeling it. Maybe you've actually let go of something from the past that you still wanted, but you know it was destroying you. And you said, God, I'm leaving that to follow you. And right now you feel a little bit like I'm missing this. And you want to turn your gaze to the past. You want to look upon something that you used to have. But Jesus is like, no, 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 no. I'm doing a new thing. Don't you perceive it? Stay focused on me. Follow me. Follow me. You know, I've got to be honest with this church. Jesus' promise of great eternal reward is incredible, but it means we have to let go of our selfish ambition in life. And I got to be honest, you know, Jesus calls us to so much more because, as you can understand, these disciples, for 3 years, they're following Jesus and things are going pretty well. You think about it. You get to see all the miracles. You get to be around God himself. You've seen people raised from the dead. You've seen blind eyes open. You've seen baskets of food multiplied. You've got some pretty good stuff. But then Jesus, after about 3 years, starts to speak to these disciples with a bit of different language. And it says this in Matthew 16, 21 to 28. He starts talking about his death. And I was sharing this with the 8 a.m. I don't know about you, but if Jesus or someone, just imagine a friend of yours, right? Everything's going really well. You're part of a business. Maybe you've built something with a friend and your mate goes, starts just talking around the table like, by the way, guys, I'm going to die. It's going to be brutal, but don't worry. I'm going to raise again after 3 days, right? I don't know about you, but I'd be like, can we just not talk about this? Like, do you have mental health issues? Like, let's help you through this depression you're experiencing. There's no way that this is going to happen. And just like how we'd respond, the disciples start responding like this to Jesus as well. Because they're like, this is ridiculous. You're talking weird. And it says this in Matthew 16, 21 to 28. It says this, from that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter's response is probably one like me. I would probably go, no. Peter actually took Jesus aside, it says in verse 22, and rebuked him. He said, never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. The reason for it, Peter is riding the wave of Jesus. He doesn't want this to end. This is a good ride. And Jesus turns and says to Peter, get behind me, Satan. That hurts a bit, doesn't it? He says, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Can you understand what's happened in Peter's heart? He left stuff. But then he started to walk in things with God and he starts to receive the blessing. And he starts to think about what Jesus said. He's like, you're going to have a throne one day. You're going to rule the tribes of Israel. Wow. And he starts thinking of all the good things he's going to get. And now Jesus is like, I'm going to leave, I'm going to die. And he's like, that's never going to happen. We're going to stay positive. Let's focus on the good. You're not going to die. And Jesus calls him out. He's like, you're missing it, Peter. Your focus is on earthly things. You've lost track of all the prosperity in your life right now. You're missing it. You need to set your eyes on things above, the concerns of God. And then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. And it says, forever who wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give to exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some of you standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming into his kingdom. Jesus' challenge to follow him is a huge ask. And the challenge really is for us to say, yeah, I'm in, or maybe you could actually be honest with God and, like those followers early before Jesus left, actually go, I'm out. It's too much. Jesus doesn't leave a halfway option. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. To choose to follow Jesus requires letting go of selfish ambition, laying down your life, letting go of your heart's desires, but there is the greatest reward in doing it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. Maybe today you came in today thinking, I'm going to church because I don't know what my purpose is. Why am I here? And you've been seeking everything the world has to offer you, but you're not really happy. You're not really finding it. Can I say this? When you let go of that and start choosing to follow Jesus, let go of those thoughts and those needs and those things, guess what? You're going to find what you've been looking for. Because Jesus promises it. Jesus promises it. You can trust a man who predicted his own death, died and rose again. It's why we're still here today, because he rose again. The beautiful thing is, when it comes to following Jesus, we do have to leave something behind. It's the sin in our life, the brokenness in our life, the stuff that we know goes against following Jesus. It's called repentance. It's saying, sorry, God, I'm genuinely sorry. I'm never turning back and looking at that again. I'm leaving it to follow you. And Jesus loves us that much that he made a way on the cross for that to happen. You know, King David wrote a passage in the Psalms well before Jesus' time, and he understood the heart of God. See, God's heart has always been one of love and restoration so people can follow God. David, King David, an adulterer, a murderer, a liar, and so much more, wrote these words. And I want you, if you need to shut your eyes as I read this scripture, I want you just to meditate on these words. David wrote this because he understood the love of God and the forgiveness offered to anyone who's prepared to leave the past behind and do just what the disciples did and choose to follow. David writes this psalm. He says, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all sins and heals all diseases. Isn't that a picture of Jesus and what he did? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as far has he removed our transgressions, our sins, our past, our shame, our guilt, our brokenness from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is for those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children. That's for you. That's for you. That's how much he loves you. All you've got to say is, Jesus, forgive me. I'm leaving the past behind. I'm letting go of this in my 2022 for the thing that you have for me, that thing that is new. In this moment, I think a lot of us have come in to 2022, as Beck talked about, this anxiety, and I'm living with depression, anxiety, and fear, and I've got all these things. God wants to give you peace, but he wants to give you a new start. Do you not perceive it? Can you not see it? I'm doing a new thing. And it's simple as just getting right with God and saying, I leave the past behind. I leave January behind. I start new today. And if you want to start fresh with God today and you're like, you know what, from now on and over the next few weeks, we're going to unpack what it means to truly follow Jesus. When Jesus said, follow me, what does it look like? We're going to unpack that. But if you're just like, I want to follow Jesus, I'm not looking back anymore. The scriptures say it's far as from the east, from the west, my sins are gone. I want to follow you, Jesus. If that's you today, just put your hand up so I can pray with you right now. Just put it up across the app. See your hand right there, right around. There's a bunch of you. That's great. I'm going to include you in this prayer. Father, I thank you for those that know they need to leave things behind. Holy Spirit, I pray that you reveal to the hearts of our church community just this week, God, what needs to be let go of, not dwelt on anymore, for a new beginning. God, I thank you that you show us which way to go. And Jesus, choosing to follow you does come at a great price, but there's great reward. Father, I pray that we will learn to follow you this year, that we will seek after you, Jesus, that we will strive to be obedient to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast. We believe this message will inspire you into greater intimacy with Jesus, relationship with others, and influence in your world. If you would like to know more about us, you can visit us online at www.elevationchurch.com.au or alternatively, pop into our Redlands location.